can experience this podcast of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed anywhere. But you can only experience truly stunning living in the groundbreaking 22-story Charlie Parker Tower. It's in the Parramatta CBD and it's just 300 metres from the train and 500 metres from Westfield. Google Charlie Parker now.
Hello, podcast people. So much in today. Bedroom injuries. Also, talking the banking. Banks stealing from dead people. That was fun.
Let's not undermine the bedroom injuries segment.
Bajinjuries.
Holy hell, that went to a hectic place.
Yep.
Actually, the whole show was hectic today.
It was a bit
going on.
Yeah, you were really on fire with the dad jokes.
And you're exclusive with Ding Dong about the implosion of Studio 10.
We don't know what's happening there until we called Denise and she set the record straight.
She was amazing. She just gives zero f**ks about Buttrose, doesn't she?
Zero.
You going to miss your sparring partner? What was the answer?
Nah. Next question.
Love Ding Dong. Excellent work. Have a nice pod.
Yeah, bye guys.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready, set, go.
Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed.
2 minutes past six. Good morning to the both of you.
G'day, great man.
Wow.
G'day, great lady.
Thank you. Good morning, two people.
Yeah.
You didn't need to put so much effort into that.
Two alive people.
Yes.
Oh, there's a lot on today. Ross Greenwood's on to tell us that this Banking Royal Commission is any use to any of us.
Was Koshy not available?
No, he was. That's why we've gone to Ross Greenwood.
Amazing. Also, because of the ongoing feud between Denya and Kosh.
There is no feud.
Actually,
Denya,
you just told me off air he ignored you at the Logies and wouldn't shake your hand.
He did shake my hand. He just looked the other way.
Oh!
But what did I say? When you told me that, what did I say?
That's the best thing that could ever happen to you.
Now you never have to talk to Koshy. It's a dream come true, Grant Denya. Congratulations.
Thank you. I've reached
You don't need a gold Logie. When they hand out the gold logo, there should be two. There should be the actual gold logo you have got.
Yeah.
And then there should be a sort of David Kosh sort of styled one.
You've been snubbed.
Yeah, a bit taller and a bit balder
and
very dull. And then they hand you that one to someone that he knows he doesn't have to speak to Koshy.
The snubby, we'll call it.
The snubby.
Yes.
Yeah. We are starting beef between you and Koshy.
No need for beef.
Hey, know what else is good?
There's enough going on at Channel 10 beef at the moment.
Whoa, isn't there just the order's gone? You know what's good? It feels like a Monday. Actually, a Thursday.
Oh, that is good news.
Guys.
Wednesday off.
Guys, we need to... Wednesday off is a very interesting
idea,
don't you think?
Hashtag Wednesday off. I think it's... The Spanish are still asleep for most of the day.
Yeah, you just nap. I'm all for combining all the naps into one day, Wednesday.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's do it.
And tons on today. Kate Middleton will talk more about the royal birth. TV obsessions, bedroom injuries, and when we come back...
Are you okay? Are you hurt yourself?
Oh, well, I did. Well, someone in our team has claimed to have...
A bajinjury.
Yes, he's claimed to have...
A bajinjury.
He's claimed to have broken it.
Broken the delicates?
Oh. Yeah, broken the delicate.
Ooh.
Can it even happen?
Snapped his shaft.
Yes.
I want to know what kind of maneuver you need to be deep into when you snap
said
shaft.
Don't say deep into. You're a bad person. Let's come back with the...
What's the problem?
Stories overnight you may have missed. People getting sentenced to 50 years for fajita theft.
As they should. It's a very serious crime.
50 years.
A few stories overnight that you that you may have missed.
Mm-hmm.
$97 million, was it, that Sydney Airport made? If I got that number correct?
Yeah.
$97 million from parking?
Just parking.
97.
Amazing.
Most I ever paid at Sydney Airport for parking was 130, I think it was.
For how long?
I made a mistake of going overnight, but overnight in just like the normal one.
Oh, yeah.
Not like the one.
Long term.
Not long term.
I park in it.
137.
I just pay it.
I think that was it. I think that was it.
I paid recently 170 for two nights.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Were you on the tarmac?
No, I wish.
Were you parked in
the
bottom terminal?
I was close. Yeah, pretty much in the terminal.
Oh, my God.
I just accept it now. I'm just like, oh, well, what's... Because I live so far from the airport, it's still cheaper than getting a taxi.
What's the point? What's that one?
If you plan it properly, you can get away with it
quite cheaply.
Shut up, Danielle.
Okay. I don't want to get a minibus to the airport.
Yeah,
no one wants to be that guy.
It's a 45-minute minibus
getting
ride.
Getting a minibus From, like, you might as well just drive there. I can't put a price on aggravation.
Don't forget, you got to fight to throw your own luggage in the boot of the minivan.
No, I don't even care. I save up extra because I know about the parking.
What's that one? It's called, when you know when you're driving in and there's the valet. It's called.
I use that.
Is it still called Pronto?
Yeah.
Ours is Premium.
Pronto. And I've always thought, ooh. So you're doing well if you're in the Pronto.
Yeah, hey. You look at them, there's like Aston Martin.
I always look at the cars in there.
Ferrari.
Yes.
Yeah.
Range Porsche. Rovers.
Lots of Range Rovers.
Yeah.
And then you'll just see one like a Hyundai Getz and you go, dude, someone's selling a corporate car from work.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Bathurst. Grant, you live not too far from Bathurst and it's been hit by a 2.6 magnitude earthquake overnight. Yesterday at 5:39 p.m. And no property damage, which is great, or injuries discovered. And you told me an interesting geological fact.
That it actually caused $2 million worth of improvements to the town.
Hey.
Oh, hey, good joke.
He needs a sound effect.
Yeah, one to Dad.
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 Yeah, that's big news.
But you told me another actual geological fact that I enjoyed.
Oh, because it is on along a gold mining vein? Is that what you're saying? Because you made the assumption that how could it possibly be on two tectonic plates to cause the eruption?
Yeah,
but it coincides with a lot of gold mining areas get minor trembles.
Look at that.
It's so boring.
Gold mining areas.
My grandmother used to be able to feel them in her waters.
What waters?
Yeah, well, I don't know. She used to say that term.
In her bowels?
Yeah, but like she could sense it and none of us could feel it. She was quite intrigued.
But is Bathurst an earthquake hotspot?
Not regularly, but a lot of gold places are.
Okay. Geez, that's tense.
How about old Grandma Daniel with her waters?
And she could water divine. You know the skill of getting two sticks.
Oh, we're still on this, aren't we?
Yeah. And you can find like an underground aquifer.
Which is vital when you're trying to survive in the bush.
Two sticks off the ground, mate. She'd cross them over. She'd wander around and like a hey, sort of make this little sort of chanting sound. And then she'd find a new dig, mate. There is water that you will live on forever.
What's she doing now?
Mate, she's dead, but thanks
for bringing that up. Jesus, thanks for bringing it.
Love you, Nana.
Did Russell Crowe do it?
Yeah, the water diviner. Yeah.
That's true.
Is that based on Nana Danielle?
Oh, Una Merle. She's a tough old lady. You knew when you were in trouble with Una Merle when she'd come out swinging the tea towel. Like if I was riding past the farm on the motorbike too fast and throwing up too much dirt on her whitewashing, she would come after you swinging the tea towel and you know that you were in trouble.
Did you know that Grant Denyer's family was the Sullivans?
I was just going to say that. Oh, she took the joke straight out of my mouth.
I had no idea. God.
Someone's got a baby crawling. It's not me or Grant.
Thank you, mate.
Well, that's a big deal, doll.
I'll save the applause because it's been an issue at my house. Arnold is 7 months old, and you know we do a lot of YouTube parenting, so we compare, we compare and contrast.
Yeah.
Tiff saw a baby that could hold the plank, and she was trying to get Arnie
to plank
to sit up on his little.
Oh my god!
Lifting up his tummy, and he was dropping back down and going.
Oh no, core strength.
How long was the plank?
And then he was doing this thing where instead of sort of. Moving, he was just sort of kicking his legs backwards and waving his arms.
Yeah.
It's like a seal, sort of like, you know, seals out of the water.
Yeah.
So much disappointment in your eyes already.
I was like, mate, come, and I was showing him the video. I was going, look at this baby. look at this baby. He's meant to do this other thing called, not couch cruising, furniture cruising, where if you prop them up, they'll sort of stand and stand up. And he sort of does that.
Mm.
But
if they've got something to hang on to.
Yeah, he sort of does that. But we're desperate for him to crawl. We've tried everything. All his favorite toys. He has this little dog that he loves called Bruce. It's the first thing he's ever wanted.
Like Bruce.
He rooches for it.
Good name.
Oh, wow. And my wife did that so that I couldn't call our next child if it was a boy, Bruce.
Normally people do that with dogs.
That's right.
A good idea.
Well, we did.
Oh, but with a toy dog.
Yeah, because we're never going to have an actual dog.
No, of course not. You hate them.
I do. And so I was like, we're getting a bit wit's end. We're like, come on. I'm like, Tiff's like, don't worry about it. I'm like, yeah, I know, but he should be crawling. Yesterday he finally crawled and the way it happened was we were all lying on this like a bed, right? We're all lying, having a cute family time.
Oh, I love that.
I was reaching holding the little dog Bruce in front of him, and he's reaching out for it. And then you sort of move it a little bit further, and he reaches a little bit further. But what he was doing was sort of lying over Tiff. So Tiff's lying on her back. I'm sort of kneeling up, and we're having a really cute moment. It was really nice. It was like Full House.
Were you all in like white linen shirts?
They were all in our pajamas.
Kills like a Peter Alexander ad.
Yeah. It was like 5:30 in the afternoon, rolling our pajamas. It was very, very cute. And then I had an idea.
Oh God.
I said, I know what's gonna happen. I know how to make this kid crawl. Just let me lay back, think of England. Mm. I've got it. And
okay.
I took one of my wife, my wife had a breastfeeding top on, took out one of her boobs. Right? So now there's just a nude boob. And there's a baby sort of down near her hip. And I'm waving the dog and he stopped dead and he just froze the dog out.
And locked
he
on.
Turned his little head.
He saw the nipple.
He saw the boob.
Yeah.
I kid you not, some drool left his little mouth. And he turned his little body, like, you know, Linda Blair in The Exorcist?
Yeah.
His head went 360.
Amazing.
And he turned his little arms and he went, and he was like straining and like a walking dead zombie, like looking at this boob. And then, two bits of movement towards my wife's breasts.
Wow.
And I said, imagine if we had like, two other chicks with their boobs out as well.
He'd be running.
Imagine.
I'm glad you made that comment.
Imagine what we could get him to
do. Imagine. You should get on the phone, Tiff, and call three of your blondest, hottest friends.
Yeah, I'll get Florence.
You can get Florence. Everyone get their boobs out.
Yeah.
We'll have him running a marathon by next week.
To which she said, well, you've ruined that.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed, weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM.
Time to get serious, time to get medical, because, what are we saying, how are we saying it?
Bajingery.
Bajingeries, a bedroom injury.
This... Or the bajingery could cause a vajingery or a pitjingery.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
That's very true.
Yes.
There was I saw this on the news, a little news story a little while ago of a guy from, I think, Canada who had gone on a date and then he'd had a broken penis, he was saying.
Broken penis.
Oh, wonky wang.
And that reminded me of a friend of mine once who told me that he had, quote, snapped his banjo string.
Oh, my God, Christ on a wheel. Lord. And that, everyone's eyes are watering, whether you've got one or not. Now, where's the banjo string?
If you imagine that the banjo, the neck of the banjo is sort of the tip of the penis.
Yes,
and the sort of the base or the sort of round part of the banjo is sort of closer to the perineum.
Yes.
That sort of area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it sort of keeps that, it's like exactly basically strings those two together.
And it snapped.
This had snapped, yeah.
Oh.
This had snapped.
Well, a member of our team has had a bajingery.
Yeah, Lackey Jack does a great job for us. Last seen just hanging around the toilets at Maryland's.
Which is just his natural instinct.
Is that where you got the injury?
No.
I said, he doesn't know why he's drawn there, but he is.
Okay, Jack.
What happened?
Well, funny you should say banjo string. Mine snapped.
Oh, happened again.
Now,
so is this an actual medical thing or is this just a colloquialism?
Thing.
Really?
Yeah, but Jack, I just need... Okay, so we're going to do this in a radio-friendly fashion.
Yeah.
You were
in the throes of passion, yes.
Amazing, beautiful.
And all of a sudden, this is the first time I was with this person.
Person, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I just felt this pain. I was like, ah! And I said, get off. And,
good, okay.
And then... I waited a little while and like something didn't feel right. So I went to the bathroom, flicked on the light, and it looked like my nether regions had been in a wood chipper. There was so much blood.
So there's...
What?
It's not good for a man to have blood in his crotch.
No. So you mean like under the skin sort of blood?
I mean like, everywhere. I guess because that's where the blood goes.
Oh, Joel.
Yeah, no, it's a blooded area.
So did you go to the hospital?
No. I just like had
too
a shower.
Embarrassed?
No, but I just like... Actually realised where it was coming from, it was only a small little tear, you know? Like I was like, how is there so much blood coming from one little...
But how did you get diagnosed?
I just diagnosed myself and then I Googled and it turns out a lot of people have this same issue.
Pituitary. Broken banjo string.
And how long were you out of action for?
About 3 weeks.
What's the rehab for a broken banjo string?
That?
What are you doing there?
Question.
Just a lot of massaging.
Okay. So what we want...
Self-diagnosed.
I know. And self-treated.
Yeah.
Self-medicated. 13-10-60, let's fess up. Have you caused or had a bajingery? A bedroom injury. It happens to the best of us.
And it doesn't even have to all be nether region. Maybe you hit your head on a...
Maybe you knocked yourself out.
Yeah,
that happens.
Maybe you fell out of bed.
Sprained your ankle. It doesn't have to just be in the swimsuit area.
No, it doesn't.
You know what I mean?
13-10-60. Our winner today is going to go to Harry Styles.
Great. Harry's had some bajingeries. You better believe.
Can you imagine?
And if you're not into Harry Styles, there'll be if it's a more of a boy's sort of style and they're not into Harry Styles, then there's burger joint vouchers.
You wouldn't want to be a housemate who goes in after in his hotel room, would you?
What?
What?
You wouldn't want to be a housemate that cleans up his hotel rooms, I reckon, Harry. I reckon he's had some big nights.
Oh, Styles.
Yeah. Well, I reckon he's the opposite. I reckon he drinks tea.
You for real?
Yeah, that boy rocks a Gucci suit. I don't know if he's having big nights out.
That's interesting. 131060. Have you had yourself a bedroom injury?
Bajinjury.
131060, a bajinjury, a bedroom injury.
Good boy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Who's had one? What happened?
Philip, we're going to get some stories.
We had a cast member of the show snap his banjo string, and we're still a little discussing. We don't quite understand where the blood was coming from.
Yeah, was it on the outside or under the skin, like a blood sausage?
It was a blood sausage, Joel. Not even lie.
Gross.
It really was. If you put a little prick in that thing.
Ow. No. Jamie from Concord,
it's
get us out of
bubbling.
This. Jamie, what happened?
Guys, morning. How are you?
Oh, good. Thanks, mate. What happened?
Mate, really steamy hot night. Me and the missus, we thought we'd go get a hotel room at the back of Liverpool somewhere. We're in the area.
Nice.
And,
romantic.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, the fan spun off the ceiling, landed on her shoulder, stripped her shoulder, having about 40 stitches. And we ended up in hospital all night.
Oh, you shook the fan off the ceiling.
Wait, so you are in the act of, the throes of, and while you were doing it, the fan randomly drops from the ceiling and slashes your girlfriend's shoulder.
That's true. Yeah, I was on the bottom, she was on top, and she took the whole fall, mate, for me. It was good.
I always worry about fans falling off the roof. When I go to sleep at night, the ceiling fans, I'm like, one night, this is just going to take me out.
It would look like a massacre in there.
Did you get a free? What did you do to the hotel, Jamie? Did they have to compensate you in any way?
100%.
Yeah, they reimbursed us for paid for medicals, mate. But the injury was, it was pretty bad, actually. It looked like a crime scene, actually. Yeah,
40 stitches?
That's so many.
Yeah.
Jamie,
that is hectic.
That is quite amazing. I'm going to send you.
Should we hear Julie's story?
Well, no, but he gets something anyway. Because
good.
Yeah. Movie tickets and 8-bit vouchers from burgers to hot dogs to chips and potato gems. Well played, Jamie.
Good, that was a good call.
Here comes Julie. From Wetherill Park.
Hello.
Julie. Oh, goodness me.
Good morning.
What happened?
Well, look, this isn't my story, but it's my brother's story. Anyway, so him and his girlfriend were having sex and everyone else was in the house, whatever. All of a sudden, we hear this massive thump and screaming. And apparently what had happened was my brother had said, don't tickle my balls. She did tickle his balls, so he launched her into the bedhead. She fractured her skull.
Don't tickle balls.
Well, the thing is, right, we all were like, oh, my God, what's happened? And Anthony, I shouldn't say his name, but anyway, my brother's screaming, don't come in. And he's just whimpering in there. It was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious.
He can't handle that sensation, so he catapulted her into the wall involuntarily.
Into the bedhead,
which was sharp, yes.
Okay, Julie.
Anthony. What? Anthony, who is Julie's brother from Wetherill Park. What? Your ticklish balls has fractured a person's skull.
Well, the good news is for you, Julie, is that you get to go to Harry Styles live on tour this Friday, 27th of April at Kudos Bank Arena. It's sold out, but you're going. Well, for heaven's sake, do not tickle Harry's balls while you're there. We could.
I'll bring Anthony with me.
What's Anthony's last name, Julie?
No.
Well played, Julie.
Oh, tickly's balls.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Julie.
See ya.
Today FM's $100,000.
Beat the bomb.
Oh, right on 7 o'clock, it is time to get your share of $100,000. With Beat the Bomb. And this morning we say hello to Rachel from Currens Hill. Good morning, Rachel. Oh,
good morning. How are you? I'm so nervous. So out.
Now, are you going big or going home? What's your goal? What have you got in your mind?
I need to pay rego, so I just want enough to cover that. But, you know, if my nerves are hold out, I might go a bit further. So I don't want to be too greedy,
Cover the rego and a little something-something for yourself.
Nah, be greedy.
No, I can't. I don't know. I don't believe having get nothing.
Well, you know, you're coming in with nothing, as all the greats say. So come on. I don't have the amount. I can't give you any clues. I've been banned from knowing.
No more clues.
Oh, really? Okay.
Nah, I'm sorry. Okay, otherwise, I would.
The cash bomb has been loaded. All you need to do, Rachel, is yell stop before the bomb goes off. You do that and you take home the last cash amount revealed. But if the bomb beats you to it, then you walk away sadly empty-handed. Does that all make sense? Are you ready to light the fuse?
Yep, light me up. Thank you.
Good luck, Rachel.
Okay, here we go. Let's light the fuse.
$600. $1,100.
Stop.
Rachel, that's $1,100.
Easy money.
Now, Rach, we've reached that point of our lives where we all have to sit and listen, and none of us actually know how high it was going to go. Are you ready to hear how high you could have gone?
Yes, I'm ready.
You've got yourself $1,100. You only wanted 1,000, so you're already ahead.
Yes.
Let's hear how high Rach could have gone.
$1,200. $1,800.
Big jump.
I knew it.
Still there, Bomb Man?
Mr. Bomb Man,
are you still there? Oh, goodness.
$2,100.
There he is.
Yeah.
$2,300.
Cranking.
Halfway, excellent.
Yeah, halfway. God, you're a positive person, Rachel.
I'm very happy with that. Thank you.
Well played. $2,300 you could have had, but $1,100, another chance to play with MC after 9 o'clock.
I've got a new obsession on Netflix. It's called the Great Interior Design Challenge. As we all know, I have a degree in interior design.
Half a degree.
I didn't finish it because I got an Australian Idol, guys.
There we go.
But I really love anything interior design. I love makeover shows. I love seeing before and afters because traditionally the after is better than the before.
It's the idea.
But if you watch the Great Interior Design Challenge, you'll watch it and realize that these poor homeowners are just lobbed with the most disgusting after situations I've ever seen.
So it's like the anti-reno show.
It is. And look, there's an amazing judge in there called Daniel Hopwood, who is the president of the British Institute of Interior Design. And this guy has to go in and judge. He was going to, we don't know what happened. He's it's not here. So I'm going to talk about it because I do have a degree in interior design.
Yes, you do.
And basically what happens is they unleash amateur designers upon the poor, unsuspecting public.
That hurts.
And from what I can gather, the only experience those people have is going to IKEA and picking out a chair and putting it together in their own room.
That's the block people.
They're good with the Allen key.
Yeah. And what you meet the designer and then you go and look at their amazing house. And they're all very big fans of vintage. And there's a lot of
cheap.
There's a lot of like animal heads happening on walls and that kind of thing. And then they meet the client and the client will say things like, oh, you know, I don't want a lot of fuss. I don't want any craft or arts or nothing homemade. I want it to look modern and sleek. And they've only got a $1,000 budget. And basically,
it's pretty hard to do.
And the interior designer will say things like, I don't care what they want. I have my vision.
Oh, no.
So usually what happens is they do the room over. They'll do four feature walls, which defeats the purpose of the word feature wall because there's four walls in four different colors.
Every wall. Well, it's four times the fun.
And everyone's really keen on stenciling with paint. So they'll cut out a stencil of, like, say, a rose or a holly, and they'll put it on the wall when the person said no arts and craft.
Oh, so they'll manually do each.
One woman to save money painted a fabric couch. Painted it because she didn't want to pay to reupholster it. It's horrible. And then these judges walk in, and I'm sitting at the couch just yelling, going, no! No! And this one woman's like, oh, one of the brief was, I want it to be classy. And so this woman decided she'd build a chandelier out of wood she'd found at the tip, and she painted it silver and hung shells on the bottom. Everyone uses spray paint and MDF.
Oh, yes.
Like, that's all they use. Yeah. It's just horrible.
What happened to, you told me about a set of stairs.
They put grass underneath it and made a zen play space for the children.
Under the stairs,
and it was about 30 centimetres high. And one woman ripped out a fireplace, perfectly good, and put in some stones and fake plants. Well, oh my God!
I think we do have a grab of him. I think we've got a bit of Daniel. This room was meant to be like classy, sort of like an upper class palace feel. This is his reaction.
But actually, what Holly offered was a teddy bear's picnic.
He's amazing. That's why I want to talk to him. He's so snitchy. If I walked into these rooms, I would just, as the client, and the client will walk in and go, because they're British, I'll grow to love it. It's not exactly what I asked for, and everyone uses yellow feature. Just like some guy painted a square of yellow just on a white wall. And they're like, oh, we want more room. So these idiots just take all the furniture out but don't put it back.
Oh, that's an old trick.
You walk into a room and there's just one chair and a white wall with a yellow square on
it. It's minimalist, darling.
It's hideous.
So we should get someone, there'd be someone in town who's got a room they want done over.
Would you like me to make it over?
We should get.
If you give me $1,000 in a room, I'll do it.
We should find $1,000 and give someone a chance to have you make over their room
in
whatever style you would like.
Great idea.
So we're going to start building that.
We've got an ideas meeting today, and you know what? Now you're being interesting.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. What's the first item you'd put in?
Wood chandelier?
Yeah, chandelier made of tampons.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M. Grant and Ed at todayfm.com.au.
There's a banking royal commission going on at the moment, and I hear you all saying, oh, no, not royal commissions, not
banks.
And
we glaze over.
Mm. Well, we shouldn't.
Don't you think? I sometimes just let my bank, it's a magical, mystical thing that just happens, and if my money's there, I don't check.
I got a Dolomite account when I was in primary school.
Right.
And just never questioned it after that.
I've still got it. See?
A lot of people don't go through their statements because it's overwhelming.
Yep.
Sometimes you just put your card in, and if it gets accepted, I walk away.
You've won a little lottery.
Yeah.
We're busy in life. You know, it's hard to go over those kind of small details.
So thankfully there are people who do care, i.e. this guy's fantastic. Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's financial editor. Good morning, mate.
Ed, morning to you. Grant, M, good to
Roscoe.
Be with you.
Morning, Ross.
Now, a lot of people are glazing over this Banking Royal Commission, but they shouldn't because basically they've been stealing from us, from dead people. Can you explain why we need to be paying attention right now?
Well, number one, think about this. The banks make combined, the big banks, the four big banks, about $30 billion every year. Now, I don't want to say too much, but this is your money. Yeah. So therefore, the worse you are at banking, the more money they make. So therefore, go figure this out, that banks, say, for example, basically took money out of people's accounts but provided them absolutely zero service. So figure this, how good a job would that be? I'll turn up, I'm not going to do anything, and you're going to pay me because I'm just going to take the money out of your account.
Well, now, that's what Grant Denyer does every morning.
the funny thing is, if you turned up to the bank, right, and basically knocked off money out of the bank, you'd be the subject of 8 years jail. But if the bank does that to you, that seemed to be the normal course of business.
How come they've gone so unchecked for so long? Yeah. Like, how far does this problem extend?
Well, I think it's as much cultural as anything else. Because what happened, and what this inquiry is really all about, is whose interests do the banks put first? Do they put yours, the customers, or theirs and their shareholders to try and make as much money as they can? In other words, is there also a culture out there which says, righto, we're going to pay people who sell our products more and more and more, and the more they sell, the more they make. So those people sit out there and think, beaut, the more customers I can actually con into these types of investments where I make more money, good for me, not so good for them, but let's forget about that. And so now the banks are having to pay out, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation to some of those customers who effectively have been ripped off by their advisors and ripped off by the bank. That's the reason why you should care, because it could have been your money.
If I'm worried that maybe this, if I haven't been checking and I'm thinking, well, hang on, maybe I'm one of the people that has been affected by this, what can I do, Ross Green, with Channel 9's money, man? How can I find out whether or not I have been being overcharged?
Mm. Well, generally, the bank is now these days probably going to find you. The second thing is, it's often in areas where people have gone and got advice about superannuation from them. That's where most of the fundamental faults are. Mm. And also, there's been other situations where, say, for example, advisors, where they're able to effectively have management fees go on and on and on. You know, the worst examples were when somebody had died, been dead for 10 years, but the bank kept on taking the fees out because, again, nobody checked. So, you know, so as I say, it's a pretty bad thing for the banks and their image. When I can go up on Channel 9 and simply the opening line says, grave robbers, the Commonwealth Bank's advisors have been taking money out of their accounts. Wow. I mean, no, it's not a great image for the banks, you've got to say. No.
Ross, are we entitled to compensation? Like, if we find out that this has happened, can we sue the banks?
Well, the thing is, those lawsuits will generally come through class actions. So as a result, you trying to do this yourself is just going to cost way too much money and way too much time.
Yeah.
And sort of at the moment, the class actions, there's three of them out there against the AMP.
Great.
And they're broadly being taken by shareholders who are concerned, because the AMP share price since this Royal Commission began has collapsed by about 23%. Whoa. And the reason why it's fallen so much, about, you know, $3.5-4 billion has been wiped off the value of the AMP, because people are worried about the amount of compensation they might have to pay out in the future.
Okay.
Ross, as a rule, are banks just bad? Like, are we... like,
are all banks dodgy?
What, or do we have any other alternatives?
No. But look, banks are generally not bad. And people who work in banks are generally not bad. It's the systems that are bad, and also maybe that culture of profit at all cost. But the truth of the matter is, for most Australians, their relationship with their bank is okay. In other words, so long as the automatic teller machine works, so long as your internet banking works, and so long as your credit card works, then it's going to be okay. But as I say, the problem is about the culture and whether the bank tries to make its profits ahead of the interests of its customers and doing the right thing by those customers.
Well, Ross Green, we're Channel 9's money editor. I always like to end our interviews with a one-word answer question. Here it comes. Are property prices in Sydney going to continue to fall?
Yes.
Yes, Ross Green.
Thank you, Ross. See you soon.
Good man.
Just Em and Grant here right now. We've sent Ed away. We are doing our Ask Me Anything segment, Denya. And basically we're getting interesting people on from all walks of life to ask questions that I reckon a lot of people would want to, but maybe would feel were maybe a little bit offensive or a little bit scared.
And sometimes they're topics of taboo as well, where people just don't go there.
Yeah.
And we dare to go there.
We do. And even me today, I was super uncomfortable about doing this interview because I was nervous about degrading this person in any way or offending them, or I just was nervous around that. Even what she refers to herself as, I felt uncomfortable with. So we're going to bring on Bella. Hi, Bella.
Hi, how is going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Now, I would call you a plus-sized adult entertainer. But you refer to yourself as?
A fatogram.
A fatogram.
A fatogram.
Now, straight away, that makes me bristle for you on your behalf.
But why?
That's why I got my husband actually said to me, mate, if she's happy doing it and she enjoys it, you don't get to be offended on her behalf.
That's fair call.
So you talk to me about embracing that term fatogram.
Well, I'm fat. I love what I do.
You love it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
what does your job involve?
Entertaining people, being a little bit naughty, and just having lots of fun.
Okay.
And you've been doing it for 10 years, so clearly you love it. You love it. So what do you personally get out of it?
The satisfaction of when I first turn up, they go, oh, my God. But then when I leave, they want me to party with them. They don't want me to leave.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It's, it's good. It's surprising people and then wanting them, they want more.
Now, can you talk me through a Bella B? And if you want to book Bella, damiansparty.com.au. Talk me through a Bella B show.
Okay, so I get ready at home. I put my skirt and my boots on and I take my shirt with me. And then when I turn up, I've got my best friend with me.
Yep.
And she does my music. So we generally blindfold the person. And it depends on the age of the person is what show I do.
Yeah.
So if the person's a lot older, I don't bring out the whips and the paddles.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I don't have anyone dying on you.
Yes.
No. Gosh. I'm even scared of that just sitting on their lap sometimes.
Oh, Bella. Yes. Yes.
Or when I pull my boobs out. So.
Oh,
so it gets a bit graphic then.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So I only go topless. They don't get to see the good bits. But, yeah, so generally if it's between 18 and 30, I'm not saying anyone over 30 is old, but I just generally keep the whips and the paddles for those
safely hidden away. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I have done an 80-year-old and it was actually a bucks party.
Wow.
So, yeah, he was quite a naughty 80-year-old.
So do you – I'm just going to ask questions and I want you to know how comfortable I am, and I get on stage and talk about the most ridiculous things. Do you – are you okay with people calling you not necessarily for because they feel like you're a sexual gift?
To embarrass their friends?
Yeah. How do you feel? Does that feel degrading at all? You're okay with almost rocking up as a comedy thing?
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
As a shock value, not...
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not there to get them all hot and horny.
Having said that, you would get some people hot and horny because...
Everyone likes skinny girls.
Exactly.
Not everyone likes Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So do you get those? You obviously get a lot of those.
Oh, yeah, I've
sat
on a few hard laps.
Oh my goodness. So have you ever turned up and someone's been really awful to you?
Like, oh god, yes. Yeah.
So what are some of the things that have happened?
Oh, I've had a full pizza thrown at my back, like I'd taken my top off, and so I had to get my girlfriend to come over and peel it off.
Don't.
It's I wish that they'd thrown something that I'd liked. I don't eat pizza, you know.
Yeah.
Throw some lollies at me or something, or some camembert cheese.
You know? Or money, whatever.
Money. I can't eat money though.
How expensive is it?
Okay, so if it's around the Newcastle and Central Coast area, it's between 200 and 300 for 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
If I come down to Sydney, it can range between 340 and 540. But if I go further, then that's when the big money comes in.
Yeah, the big money. And I don't want to point too much of a light on this, but to qualify as a plus size adult entertainer.
Yeah, you actually have to be fat. You know?
How big?
Oh, look, maybe a 10-ton Tessie, but no. No, I'm not 10 ton.
No, you're not.
Maybe
looking
five.
At you now, you're not 10 ton at all. You've just recently lost 106 kilograms.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, over the years I have. I had the lap band done.
Yeah. So how heavy did you get?
I've been 350 is my heaviest.
And were you performing when you were 350 kilograms?
No. Wouldn't hardly left the house when I was that weight.
Yeah.
But I wasn't ashamed of myself. But
no,
I just,
no.
People would look at you and you couldn't go out to eat because you're fat. Even now, I can't sit down at a restaurant without someone going, should you really be eating that?
Yeah,
you
right.
know, and they're whispering.
How do you handle that?
Yeah.
I just eat. I've had little kids say to me, Mum, look at that fat girl. And I turned around and I said, do you know why I'm fat? Because I eat cheeky little kids.
See, Belly, are you happy with being as big as you are? Are you happy with that, or would you like to be healthier?
I am healthy. I go to the gym. I walk.
Yeah.
I'm healthier than some of my skinny friends.
Yeah.
You know, I've taken my friends to the gym and they can't keep up.
Yeah.
You know, so, and some of my friends, they can't even dance on the dance floor for 15 minutes. They like one song and they're like, oh yeah, let's go for it. Sit down and have a drink and, you know, and it's like, come on, guys. I've got to do four songs, you know, so, but.
And can you imagine life without it?
No, because when I'm older, I'm going to do granny grams.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just going to slide
right
into,
through.
Yep. Till I'm, you know, 99 with me frame. Yep.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
just keep going.
Have you got kids, Bella?
I do. I have two. I have a 23-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy.
And how do they feel about your job?
They love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you ever worried you're going to turn up to a party that your 16-year-old boy's at?
No, it would never happen because he doesn't party. But I have turned up to parties where I've known people.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
So you walk into a party and you, yep.
It's one in Sydney, 10 guys, and I went to school with every single one of them.
Oh, my God.
did you push on?
Of
course.
So you did it. You did.
I did. And they went, how come we didn't know you did this at school? And I said, because I didn't do it at school, you cheeky bastards.
Were they your friends at school? Or
no, I didn't have friends at school. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I had some friends, but most friends were, you know, they're all the it crowd. And I was the nerdy kid that read the book in, you know, the quadrangle. So,
yeah.
So is this kind of about sort of flipping the coin a little bit and kind of discovering your self-confidence later in life and just living it to the max?
Oh, shit, yeah. I really didn't have much confidence until...
How'd you get into this?
My friend, okay, so I used to host swingers parties.
Okay. Good.
And my friend came and she was the one that ran them, but I hosted them. And she said, I'm going to start a stripper agency. And I went, really? And she goes, yeah, yeah. She said, do you want to be my fatogram? And I went, sure, how much does it pay? She goes, oh, between 300 and 500. And I went, I'm in.
Wow. So, you weren't offended that she asked you to be a fatogram?
No. I don't get this. Like, I'm fat.
So you're okay with it?
Yeah.
So you don't need normal size, well, not even normal, that's the wrong word, smaller people than you being offended on your behalf?
No, not at all. If I was offended and, look, okay, when I get called names, depends on the, I suppose, the mood I'm in, whether I go boo-hoo or, mate, get something original. I've been called that many times.
So kind of just like a comedian would in a crowd with a heckler. You handle it exactly the same.
Exactly. I'm a fat comedian.
You are. I mean, even I feel so, Bella, I feel so weird saying just the word fat. Like, because it's got so much in it when you say it that you are really, I mean, you've embraced yourself and you've taken control of that label and almost made it into your life and your business and your livelihood. So I applaud you for that. That's really impressive.
Because I think in the community, fat has a negative connotation, but you're nothing but positive, which is so wonderful to hear.
Look, with all the bullying in the world these days, I think that kids need to embrace themselves, whether they are overweight or whether they're even underweight. I've got a friend who is probably a size 6 and she gets picked on all the time, like, eat a burger, you know?
Yeah, everyone's picking on everyone.
Yeah, that's like, right.
Yeah, no one's escaping it.
Get over it. Get on with your own life.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you have a love life?
Oh, have I got a love life?
Oh, yeah. Are you dating anyone?
No, dating many, but not one.
And do you bring up what you do early on or late?
Have
you ever met anyone on the job?
Yes, I get many numbers on the job. Generally from between 18 and 20.
Young men.
Yeah, they all want to do an older lady, you know. That.
Wow, on you.
You know,
I don't get that, sadly. I'm obviously hanging out in the wrong places.
What is it you think that they're after? Is it or wanting to learn from someone experienced?
I think sometimes they've got like mummy issues. So. Well,
Bella, thank you for being so open with us. If you want to book Bella B, you can go to damiansparty.com.au. You do you, girl. Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks, honey.
Great, Bella. That was so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed by downloading the Today FM app.
When Mimi falls apart, you easy. When Tay-Tay gets in a fight with Kanye. When you click on Justin Bieber's dick pic. That's entertainment.
Wow. Obviously, Ida Buttrose resigned in spectacular circumstances from Studio 10. And revealing right at the end of the show that she, in fact, quit 2 days before Jessica Rose.
Oh, yeah. I went first, she said.
Yeah.
That's two big heavy hitters from one show.
That's hectic. Have a little listen to Ida's final.
Well, there comes a time in your life where you have to decide what else you want to do with your life. Yeah. And, you know, I've got 5 grandchildren whose ages range from 5 to 10. They might be watching. Hi, guys. And I want to spend a bit more time with them. And I've come to an agreement with a publisher to write a couple of books. One I've just about finished, which is fiction, and which is non-fiction. And then I've got another fiction book that I wish to write.
Jeez. I'm just 72, so, I mean, have a rest, mate.
Yeah, she's been there, done that.
So we wanted to chat to Denise Drysdale, and Grant Daniel has called Denise Drysdale. So much scoop, so much goss obtained that we're now going to have to put this in the 8 o'clock hour.
Let's move it to the 8 right
You've
now.
You've been bumped.
It's gritty.
Gritty?
Yeah.
Can you give us a little morsel, a little tasty morsel?
Oh, she's worried about, you know, she's worried about what she's going to do next because obviously Ida has been the target of so much argy-bargy between the two.
Oh.
She talks about that.
Okay, amazing. All right, well, there you've heard it first.
Scoop.
Hearing Grant Denyer's chat with Denise Drysdale after 8 o'clock.
Scoop.
Moving on. Well, in the reunion that no one asked for, Pussycat Dolls.
Oh.
like me. Good. PCD, which, as we all know, was just Nicole Scherzinger looped five times while everyone else mimed. They're getting back together. Apparently, she said, I'm looking at the possibility of maybe strapping on the stilettos and fishnets once again and living the dream. I'll never forget, you guys. I went to see them when Lady Gaga supported them in Perth, which is a strange pairing.
It is very nice.
And the girls came on stage and did a wonderful pole routine whilst shouting out things like, reach your dreams, PCD, as they slid down the pole.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful... I got teary-eyed, I have to say.
And that's back.
And finally, yeah, thank God. I mean, I know my girls have been looking for people to look to for some inspiration in life.
On a pole.
PCD, yeah, wet the pole. Christina Aguilera has revealed more than just her singing skills on carpool karaoke with Unbearable Corden. First of all, she talks about that she was in a love triangle with Britney Spears and had a crush on Justin Timberlake.
It was me, it was Britney, it was Justin, it was Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. Even then, at that age, could you find yourself getting lost in Ryan Gosling's eyes?
I think there were crushes, but I wasn't on the train.
Timberlake, Spears, and Aguilera. What a potent threesome.
Hang on, when was that?
Oh, when they were in the Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, when they were like kids.
Yeah, not recently. Together, yeah.
Not like yesterday.
Okay.
I mean, that would be hectic.
Yeah, that was pretty full on.
They'd have to wake Britney up. She wouldn't know where she was. Now, while they were in the car, this was really hectic. Melissa McCarthy just appeared out of nowhere and rapped, as you do.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, have a listen. Hey, I'm drop the jam like a summer show. Looking like a crush, Tommy Joe. And that president's a pimp like Honey Roll. That's the one that excites you, Divas. If the media shine, I'm shining with both of my sleeves up. That was Melissa McCarthy.
Doing Redman's bit in Dirty.
Good pop knowledge. And finally, this was extraordinary. Warn your dogs. Christina shows how high her voice can actually go. I'm not joking. It is ridiculous.
And how high can your voice go?
Oh, heckers.
I only heard like the first four.
I know, that made my teeth hurt. Now, that's it for right now, but obviously the big scoopla is coming up after 8.
Jesus.
Grant Denyer, hard copy, Mark 2.
Boom.
Talks with Ding Dong Drysdale.
Oh, my God.
Gets all the scoop on Ida Butrow's leaving, what really happened behind the scenes. Brussels sprouts were mentioned. This is big. You're going to make news.com.au today, and it's not going to be about your not fictional baby.
That's entertainment.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks.
At 8:04, we sure are. It is time to try and give someone the $10,000. Game show host Grant Denyer, who have you got for me this morning?
You know what? We've got Sarah from Seven Hills on the line right now. You ready to play today, FM's Alpha Bucks, Sarah?
I think so.
You good at this? Like, do you play along each morning? Like, are you good when you're in the car?
I'm not Googling, definitely not. I don't think I probably have enough time to Google the answers.
Okay.
No, that's good. That's a good answer.
Sort of know what you mean.
Okay.
What are we doing? What are we doing with the money?
Well, I have a trip to Bali coming up, so that would be really nice.
Wonderful. Which area are you staying in, Sarah?
I believe it was Seminyak.
Oh, nice. Spot.
Good area.
Get your hair braided, get a beard.
Go to the French cafe. No, it's a French cafe, I believe. It's called Bali Cafe. I've been there a few times.
Oh, yeah, I have heard of that.
Yeah, hashtag delicious.
Can you bring Ed back a Bing Tang singlet, please, so we can show off his muscles?
Okay, Sarah, let's move on. Let's play the game.
30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter E, Sarah.
E
for egg. Each question you get right, you score $100 with a chance to win up to $10,000.
Here we go.
You must take the first answer. You can't use the same answer twice. The adjudicator's word is final. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, Sarah, E is your letter. Here we go.
E.
Name a TV show.
Pass.
Type of tea.
English.
A brand.
Everlast.
African country.
Ethiopia.
Book title.
Pass.
Sydney train station.
Ermiton.
A musical instrument.
Pass.
Female actor.
Eva Longoria.
A Disney character.
Oh, get one. No, I didn't get sneak one in. That was a good effort.
Elsa.
That's
could
really
have been a
hard
Disney character.
Poor Elsa.
Judges. $400, Sarah.
Yeah!
That's a lot of rupiah. That's about what is that, 4 million rupee or something like that? So well played
that's
to
my
you,
accommodation.
Hey!
Fantastic. Good attitude.
Have a great day.
Another chance to play it this time tomorrow.
13 10 60, straight off the bat, do you think the speed at which Kate Middleton recovered from giving birth is setting an unreasonable expectation for other women? In other words, do you think that she's now making women feel bad about themselves?
So the facts of the matter were Kate Middleton gave birth to a healthy 8-pound baby boy at 11:01 a.m. on Monday, and 7 hours later, she and Prince William left the Lindo wing at St Mary's Hospital for the comforts of the home at Kensington Palace, which has a number of medical facilities inside it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just taken this really weird turn. Michelle Laurie was on the project and kind of, you know, went, people saying it's inspiring. And now we're in this strange matrix where women are attacking women. And I wrote about it last night, not really thinking it would be anything. And it's just gone off. Like, there's been nearly 1,000 comments now and 100,000 people have seen it. And I just wanted to stay, like, when we were sitting in the studio and she came on the telly and she was standing there, it felt like we just heard she'd given birth. Mm. And then she'd appeared and we all went, oh.
That's remarkable.
Gee, that's quick. Mm. But none that's of us quick. Stopped and went, oh, well, that's terrible. And I certainly, because after I gave birth, I did look like a skipper Barbie had been put in a microwave. Like, it wasn't, I was a complete mess. But that doesn't mean that I did it wrong, and it doesn't mean that Kate did it wrong.
No, I don't think she intentionally set out to set an example for women. She had there was a press call. She was feeling fine, so she came out
and did it. It's protocol. Always got to remember that in the royal family, they live under a series of rules that we don't. And one of them is that you get up, you get out. They've all done it.
Yeah.
The Queen did it.
Diana
did it. They all do it. This is what they do.
And I just feel like if it's her third, and if she wants to go home and be in her house with a hospital and nannies and her parents, then great. But I just think I'm really interested to hear if you did look at it and feel bad about yourself, or if you just want to comment on it. Mm. But just as someone, as a woman who has birthed humans, that's hard enough in itself. And I think that there doesn't need to be rules and regulations on post-baby bounce backs now.
They've got a 20-person medical team at the house.
You'd go home.
If you had that at your house, would you go home as quick as you could?
100%.
20 people.
But boys, I mean, and you'll know, especially, we've talked about this before, there's already pressure on women to get the post-baby body back.
Yes, I know.
And it's really hard. And so now we've gone to the absolute ridiculous level that now we're putting a time frame on when your vagina's supposed to heal by or your cesarean scar. And it's like, that's not okay. And it's being done by women who should know better, which really pisses me off. It's being done by women who know what it is to have a child.
And know that no two births are the same.
No, there's an infinite amount of ways you can recover from giving birth. And Kate's way was just one. I wanted to move into the hospital. I never wanted to leave.
This jelly is so good in here.
Yeah. So look, 13 10 60, I'd love to know what you think. Do you think that Kate is setting a bad example for women and making them feel bad? Or do you just think, you know, well, each to their own.
Each to their own.
Let's 100%. Do that.
Let's not forget she was leaving what is $10,000, £10,000 worth.
Oh, yeah, you had good facts about that.
It's the Lido wing where Kate was is £10,000 for a stay. It's a 5-star basic experience. I read an article written by a woman who had given birth there, just not a royal family member.
Yeah.
She said she didn't want to go home.
No.
Because it was 5-star food on call. There were people there the whole time. Mm. She said it was one of the nicest places she'd ever been in her life.
Exactly.
And staying back is so much better, because it can be terrifying, particularly if it's your first baby, as was our situation. You don't want to leave the hospital because it means that you're going to be alone with this thing at home with no idea what to do.
Correct.
13 10 60, do you think Kate is putting unrealistic expectations on women by getting up and getting out and getting home so quick?
Look, we are talking about, there's a little bit of controversy about how quickly Kate Middleton recovered after giving birth. And some people are saying it's inspiring, and then some people are saying that she's setting a bad example for women, and then some people are saying it's wrong to find it inspiring. Michelle Laurie certainly did on the project. And my opinion is you give birth however you want to give birth. You stay in your lane. Well done. Let's not judge other women. What's your opinion, Sydney?
Yeah, Maddie from Penrith. What do you
think? Morning, how are you?
Yeah, good, Maddie. What do you reckon?
What do you reckon, Mads?
I think that she
she's amazing. And I think they've broken that many royal protocols. If she wasn't okay with it, she wouldn't have done it. She's absolutely an inspiration. I got my nails done for Labour and I probably look like a wanker for that. But I want to have nice pictures. All your newborn pictures are of your hands holding your baby, and I wanted nice hands in mine. So,
oh my God, I just
got my
didn't
nails done for mine. Like,
I just didn't want to poo myself in front of my husband. I didn't even think about my nails. I was just obsessing about emptying my bowels in front of a room full of strangers. All I talked about. I'm like, Scott's like, just concentrate on the baby. I'm like, no, but what if I poo myself?
Right here.
That is a legit fear, and I understand.
Yeah, I think a lot of women do, because they don't tell you that till you're rushing in. They offer you an enema.
No.
I'm like, what? Why do I need an enema? What? Where's the baby coming from?
Why wouldn't they?
I'm so confused. Renee in Punchbowl, hello.
Hi, how are you going?
Oh, what do you reckon?
I reckon women just need to stop. I'm pregnant with my first and I've copped so much crap over everything. Breastfeeding, this is, and they're like, don't you want the best? It's like, yeah, that's why I don't do meth. Like, seriously, stop. You need to just stop.
Hey, Renee, do you
women
get...
Women horrible.
What? Why? I've never understood why they
fantastic.
Do that.
Fantastic.
But do you, Renee, do you get unsolicited advice? My wife was getting, just strangers in the street telling her what to do just when she was pregnant. Like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that some people would, have
and
the temerity
women.
To just,
it was
always women. Always
women
just
it.
Walk up
we
to her and say,
we should be supporting each other.
Oh, God, no. Have you ever been to Mum's Net? Jesus Christ. God.
Why is breastfeeding so controversial?
Oh
Grant, well done.
Don't.
Well done, mate.
Why do you turn his mic off? Is that, as we breached 8 codes by saying that? Breastfeeding because...
It's such a hot button for so many people, and I don't understand why. Isn't that what they're there for?
Yeah,
and...
but sometimes you can't do it.
Yeah, my wife struggled with it.
Exactly, and then sometimes you're made to feel bad because breast is best.
Do people try and make your wife feel bad because... You know, was there anyone trying to make Shezzy feel bad about the whole situation?
No, she was being very hard on herself because she couldn't at times get it to work properly. And we had a problem feeder and it wouldn't take. She got mastitis about 12 times.
Yeah, really?
It was incredibly
poor
painful.
Thing.
Mate, as long as
was hard on herself because she thought there should be a way that it had to be done. And
so
when you read all the books.
That's why. Because
the shooting.
You get shooted to death. That's what happens.
Because they talk about breastfeeding being, you know, a lot of women say it's such a magical one-on-one experience with a child and you're the giver of life. And then so she felt then that she wasn't doing the right job because it wasn't working for her.
But you're led to believe it's like the opening credits of Grease where Sandy's bought the dressing gown by the birds. That's not what happens. Yeah. And no one tells us it's supposed to be hard. Yeah, it's hard. So. Kylie in Parramatta, what do you reckon?
I don't think she set the best example because you look at it and it's so unrealistic. Like she just gave birth 7 hours ago and whatever the time was. And it's not just her, it's the team behind her pushing her to make an appearance, to have the makeup, the hair, the dress, to stand there and get ready and be in front of all those people. Like that quickly after giving birth, it just doesn't happen.
You know what, Carly, that's interesting because there was part of me when I saw it, which was, yeah, good luck, you know, it's your own decision. And then I did think, hang on, when I say her decision, she is part of this mechanism, this royal family mechanism. And as you can try and be as independent as you want, but inside that mechanism, there are things that you have to do.
But she knew that.
You have to do it.
And it's her third. And, yeah. I just think maybe we're making a lot of assumptions. Maybe it was her choice.
But,
do you know what I mean?
But we can only have assumptions because we're not there.
But I assume you can't go out until you're medically sound enough to do so. And there would have been a lot of people double-checking that.
100%. The hospital's not going to let her go if she's not ready to go.
No.
And I don't think she set out to make other women feel bad either.
No one thinks that. Why would she do that?
I just think do what you want. Push your baby however you want, leave when you want, but let's not shit on other women when it's already hard. It's already a hard time. I mean, we've had some big interviews, obviously, in the history of interviews, but nothing is going to prepare for Denya v. Ding Dong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a big moment.
This is an issue that has to be talked about.
Now
everyone's ignoring the cold, hard facts, but I'm going
we
there.
We heard that, obviously, Ida Buttrose left yesterday. And under a cloud of why.
Yeah, why is she leaving?
And we all thought, well, someone was quite quiet on the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. Ding dong. Barely said a word.
Barely said a thing.
So we said, Grant, Denya, you have her phone number in your phone. Can you call her? And you rose to the challenge.
Sure did.
And Ding Dong is good fun, let's be honest.
I love Ding Dong.
So do I. Always have. And I said at the time during the whole spat, I was Team Ding Dong.
Team Ding Dong all the way.
Unabashedly Team Ding Dong.
Yeah, me too.
I know. Yeah, I know Ida is an Australian media darling, I kind of do love Ding Dong.
We all warm to Ding Dong. So you went into the other room, and
I didn't want you guys to hear it just in case some emotional stuff came out that you weren't quite ready for.
Oh, my God, I'm so ready for this.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's hit play. This is Grant Denya and Denise Drysdale from This Morning.
Ida's left the show. That's Jess and now Ida. So it would have been a bit of an unusual day yesterday, was it, Denise?
Well, it was, because the show as we know it is not the same anymore, obviously, with Jess going. And Jess and I hit it off really, really well. And now Ida going, well, it's a different show. You've got two different people, two totally different people that have gone and all added to, you know, the difference to the show. But I'm sure we'll pick up. We're announcing a new member. Ooh. I don't know when that's being done, but I know her and I think she's fabulous and very funny. So that's all I can say about that. And it's head down, bum up as usual.
You were a little quiet yesterday when she was sort of signing off for the final time.
Yeah, but that was because it was also because of Anzac Day, and having been to Vietnam and having a close association with the Vietnam vets, that feeling gets stronger every year. And then when we watched the you know, we did a thing on war movies, and you get to Gallipoli, and where he's told that. Get there and tell them not to go up because it's certain death, and gets there. Oh my God! And all those boys that were killed were so unnecessary.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It really gets me. And I think as you get older, you get more emotional about it too.
One final question. Obviously, that you know, like it's been mentioned a lot this year about you and the Brussels sprout incident.
Oh,
and
bloody hell!
Oh no! So yeah. Now that she's left, how do you feel?
Oh, I've got a big bag of Brussels sprouts and nothing to do with them.
Are you going to miss having your sparring partner on the show?
No. Look, I threw that Brussels sprout. I'd got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to come down and do the Christmas song, and at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we'd had a couple of champagnes for lunch. I was feeling it, and the Christmas party was that night, so I had my party in the afternoon.
You're going to have to start throwing them at Sarah now. Thanks for your time, darling.
Best, and I love you on that show.
Thank
you for my board game.
My pleasure. I'll come over any day and play it with you live in the flesh.
Lovely.
See
you.
Bye.
Oh, well done, mate.
Thank you.
Great job.
I love you on that show. She can't remember what it's called, but it doesn't matter.
I've never felt so close to Ray Martin in my life as I have today.
I love how you said, well, you miss your old sparring partner. She's like, no.
Yeah. Flat out, first word, one word, no.
How good's Ding Dong? We are pro Ding Dong on this
Yay,
show.
Ding
Dong, you are welcome anytime. Anytime you like. Well done. Bondi Beach was closed for half an hour this morning. Hammerhead shark was spotted. It was chased away by a lifeguard on a jet ski, and off edge, Grant Denyer, you said, that's nothing. Mm. I saved a man's life.
Mm, with great whites.
Six.
You don't like sharks.
Yeah? I will not. My father told me that there were trapdoors in our swimming pool and a shark could appear at any time.
That is the most evil thing to say to a small kid.
Then made me watch Jaws when we were down at our beach house. Because he said total immersion. It'll cure her of it.
And has it?
No.
I will not. And my husband's a surfer, avid surfer, loves it.
Yeah. And you know at the moment...
Please no. Please stop it. It's not happening.
Do
I don't care.
Do you know at the moment you can dive with the sharks at the Sydney Aquarium?
No. No, thank you, please.
Let's book her in.
You book yours online at sydneyaquarium.com.au.
Shut your face.
The grey nurse is a great shark to swim with. It's the Labrador of the ocean.
Oh, you go in there and play with the Labrador of the ocean then, mate. Off you go.
You mean it's very hungry and doesn't stop eating.
Do you know they've got two...
And poos in your house.
Yeah.
They've got two penises. You know that shark? They do. They hang one out the side and go, nah, I'm not into you. I'm not going to get you. And then they go, wow, I'll get you with the other one.
That's surprise, surprise, dick.
That's what they do. Surprise,
wow,
dick.
Wow, good fact.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're in... I don't know how that segues into you, but...
Look, no one should like great whites or sharks. They are scary. So I thought I'd face my fear head on, and I went to Port Lincoln in South Australia where you go to an archipelago offshore and you can swim with them. That's kind of like a nesting area of sharks as they migrate from Western Australia through to South Australia.
I will be avoiding, what is that place called? Port Lincoln.
Port Lincoln.
Never.
High concentration of great whites. You go out, 3 hours offshore, giant cage, jump in, they swim around. But what they do is they burly for a little bit, so they get like a feeding frenzy.
Oh, so they bring sharks to you.
Already there, but they bring them on top of you.
Oh, are you in a cage?
You're in a cage, okay. Open top.
What now?
Open top. So it sits on the surface, so you're slightly just submerged, but if a shark wants to, it can come over the top.
great. Sharks jump. And you're a tasty morsel.
They
do jump.
They bash the cage. So where we go in there is six sharks at that particular point sort of circling around you. Remarkably beautiful when you start to go under the water. You're terrified to start with. Then you see them and they're gorgeously majestic. And they watch you. They come past and they have a really – they look you up and down and they weigh – they kind of look at you and go, okay, who are you? What are you about here? Can I eat you?
You're just an appetizer. That's not enough for me.
I'm a toothpick for these guys. But we were filming, so I thought, you know, let's get some great shots.
Sunrise gear.
Amazing. Amazing gear. Yep. Without the cage in the way, let's slide the door open so we can get a nice clear shot.
Oh, you deserve
whites.
To be eaten right
good
about
idea.
Now. Like, this is your own fault.
It's all for the good shot. Mm. What I didn't realise is they double team you. So they work together.
With their two penises?
To get the, not with the penis. Okay. Just with their teeth.
Okay.
So one does a little bit of a dance out in front. So we're filming it. We're leaning out of the cage in open ocean right now while the other one comes around from behind us. I, at the last second,
smiled
am looking
at them
in the wrong
bleached
direction
white teeth.
And said, go away. Oh. He goes to get the cameraman who's leaning out of the cage.
He's going
to
get the cameraman in the back who's
from
out
behind.
Of the cage.
He was stalking us from behind while we were looking at the couple of the sharks swimming around in our front. Yeah. I've at the last second turned around to see a great white coming at speed towards the cameraman hanging out of a cage. Oh, I've reefed him in by the hair, slammed the door shut just as it's gone past taking a chomp.
No, hang on. Actual mouth open.
Actual mouth open. Coming at speed. Like
where?
Going the attack mode.
Right. Where?
Attack mode.
Where it's
I nearly missed it.
Where were his penises? I'm most interested in that.
One out each side.
Wow.
Showing off.
And did you say to him, when you got back to surface...
I said, man, that you nearly died. You were nearly gone. I'm so sorry. I was looking in the wrong direction and I nearly let you get
did
eaten.
Did you get this on camera?
Would have been a great shot.
Did you get it on camera?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
No, did you film him nearly getting eaten?
No.
Didn't happen.
No. Oh.
Don't believe you.
Don't you dare.
I don't believe
the
you.
The shot
sorry.
Is only of him.
You got cameramen around
being
you.
Reefed
and
back
you,
in. You. How many cameras do you think we have underwater?
You made this up.
Bull. Great whites. I saved him. Done. Dean Crop was his
do
name.
Do you believe
him? Famous underwater filming
you.
Family.
How big's this
Ben
cameraman?
Crop from the 70s was a famous oceanographer.
Is there any crap fact you don't have really in that head of yours?
I really maxed out at two penises, didn't I?
That
we should have stopped there.
I need a picture of that. I mean, if for anything, if you take nothing away from today's show, guys.
It's the two sharks.
The sharks have two dicks.
That's wow.
Two dick Danielle. Well done.
Hey!
You can experience this podcast of Today FM Breakfast with M. Grant and Ed anywhere. But you can only experience truly stunning living in the groundbreaking 22-story Charlie Parker Tower. It's in the Parramatta CBD and it's just 300 metres from the train and 500 metres from Westfield. Google Charlie Parker now.